Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
This is the draft report on you. And we condense this a little bit. And basically it goes, you know, Tom Brady, poor build. That might be accurate.
I would probably agree.
Skinny, lacks great physical stature and strength, and gets knocked down easily.
Well, that kind of gets me fired up because I'm thinking, you know, what the hell do these people know?
The Around the NFL podcast. We'll not say Super Bowl today.
No, we will not. Although, ironically, we're talking about the man who won more of those than anyone else.
And so, added challenge.
More challenge from the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio. It's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hanzus. Greg Rosenthal. That was Mark Sessler you heard there. And, yes, that was, you know, two of the actually legends to me anyway of being a football fan. There's Steve Sable, who really, of NFL films, who really taught a whole generation of fans a better way to watch football. Interviewing, of course, Tom Brady, who on February 1st, 2023, 1 year to the day after he made his first retirement announcement, does it again. Here is what Brady had to say in an Instagram message that Jim Gray had nothing to do with.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Unbelievable. Tom Brady, seven championships.
Oh.
Didn't say it.
Gumball. Did, though, so I don't know if that's a penalty.
Seven championships, but obviously the big storyline coming out of this, Greggy, as we go through this again, is if you're not breaking this on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray, why does that podcast exist? Now I throw it to you.
I hate to admit that's one of the first things that crossed my mind, Jim Gray's mad. Although Jim Gray did get some pop on NFL Network as a guest on NFL Now, I believe, yesterday.
That's why he's got the star.
Fair trading.
But no matter what, Tom Brady and the Let's Go podcast, they're not going to top us. He's coming after us. I love the way he did this, though, with no fanfare. You could hear the emotion in his voice after what we went through last year. And you said, Dan, you wanted to make a promise that we won't.
Oh, if he comes out
him again
of retirement again, which is, by the way, not unheard of. These great players waffle a lot. I don't think it happens, but we're not doing this again. We
not
did this
again.
Last year.
Yeah.
We're doing it this year because he is the GOAT, but this is it. He's used up his
right, and
lives.
We're going to talk to Tom Curran, my old colleague over at Pro Football Talk and NBC, who's now at NBC Sports Boston, has chronicled his career. And he wrote a little bit about this, but I did think this was kind of the perfect note for a guy who came into the league as unknown as possible for a Michigan quarterback and then turned into one of the most famous people in America. And I enjoyed the simplicity of it as a fan. And as a fan, I have to admit, I'm relieved. I didn't want to see him play anymore. The whole reason why I wanted the Patriots or thought it was a good move to get rid of him back in 2019 was I thought, man, I just think it'd be depressing to ever see him have a decline. And then what did he do? He went and won a Super Bowl. He, I think, should have won the MVP just one season ago. We saw that decline start for only one season, and I'm glad for him that he's moving on now.
Yeah, I think I've obviously, like all of us, just been thinking about kind of the impact he's had on not just our careers, but long before I worked here, Tom Brady was sort of just woven into the fabric as the heartbeat of so many different football seasons. And it's like, if you were 30 years old, if you're 30, you don't remember the beginning of his career, probably. You were too young. If you're our age, he's been part of football forever, two decades plus. And I just think about the fact that now, and that message that I love the way he delivered that, that we're moving into the phase of Tom Brady the person, beyond Tom Brady the player. And Tom Brady the player was always someone who I think found a way. I mean, now we're bathed in this historical view of looking back on what he did. And like that comeback against the Falcons, we were there in person, to me, signifies who he was, that like being down by that much, by 25 points, to him was an opportunity. To other people, it'd be like, we give up. Like, he's someone that just never gave up. And I think now, I've thought about him more than I think about like George Washington. Like, he's a historical figure. He's someone that just is created part of our culture.
And, like, GW takes a stray in a big spot.
Am I wrong?
I get what you mean.
Before the 2000 draft, you could not get Mark to shut up about GW. And now right. It's like, was he even a president? I don't know.
Right.
I think with Brady too, like, I totally get how he played this. Because it was so hard to walk away last year. I think there were obviously outside pressures perhaps playing a role. We know his personal life, the way everything played out in such a public way. He got divorced during the season. He was coming off a season where he was great. And like Greg said, he could have easily been named MVP. He was atop the leaderboard or near the top in every relevant statistical category. He comes back. He finishes out the contract, and he clearly wasn't the same guy this year. And he could, yes, he could have absolutely gotten another starting job this offseason. We connected him to the Raiders like everyone else. Maybe just the most recent show, we talked about, what about the Niners now that Brock Purdy has a serious elbow injury? And it is like, I'm kind of thankful. Even as a Jets fan who never liked watching Tom Brady dominate, I will look back and be grateful that we were in person for this legendary athlete, some of his greatest moments. And B, we don't get the super sad season, because this past season kind of bordered on that, but it didn't quite get there. But you worry that if sitting on the bench, head down, wearing a Raiders uniform after getting benched, we don't have to worry about seeing that. I hope not, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think it felt like this was the season where, and even against the Cowboys in those final minutes, like Tom Brady was like, he probably knew in his heart that was the end. And he still just is out there doing Tom Brady stuff, no matter that game being totally over. He seemed to have the joy stripped from him this season a little bit. It just felt a little different to me. But it's so hard to go out as a quarterback gracefully, and he's done that.
Right. Tom pointed out this quote. He said back in 2014, when people thought that he was maybe kind of nearing the end, that was that season where they started out slowly, and he said, when I suck, I'll retire, but I don't plan on sucking for a long time. And he didn't suck this year. He was like a average NFL starting quarterback, but for him, I think that was the definition. And that Cowboys game was pretty close to me to that moment. As a fan of Brady, just seeing him in that game was tough. But I was, you know, working on a column yesterday that'll come out during the Super Bowl, just like an off-season type of column, what each team needs to do. And I flip on NFL Network yesterday, and they have the Super Bowl against the Rams. And I happened to turn it on right as that final drive was starting. You know, shout out to J.R. Redmond, by the way, getting out of bounds.
Oh my God!
Twice
somebody said the big game. Twice.
I can't believe it.
And let me. And
I haven't been punished in this exercise in years.
What
this
is the
terrible.
Punishment?
Here is the punishment. I want everyone to know we have yet to make our donation to a local Jacksonville, let's say food bank, but it could be anything, and start the charity cause. Every time you say it, it's $5 added to your contribution.
More than that. Let's go 50. I mean, what's
$5? You're getting there, buddy. You're already up to 10.
I like Greg being punished.
Yeah. Ooh. Saucy. Go ahead, Greggy.
So I'm watching that game. Can't believe I blew it.
You'll do it again. It's in your head now.
That J.R. Redmond getting out of bounds. This whole thing might not happen if that doesn't happen. Troy Brown, route of his life. But just the calm Brady had in that two-minute drill reminded me a lot of games this year. Because that year, he was not one of the better quarterbacks in the league. He was maybe not. He was around an average starting quarterback. But when the chips were down in the big moments at the end of the game, he was so calm and knew how to manage everything around me. And I'm watching this game, and it's Summerall announcing it, no longer with us. Mm. It's John Madden telling them not to
go to overtime.
Go for it. Saying go for overtime. He's no longer with us. The game's not in HD. Paul Tagliabue, who's not our commissioner, is handing the trophy to Robert Kraft with Myra Kraft right next to her. Unfortunately, no longer with us. Steve Belichick is on the stage there. He's a kid. Mm-hmm. He's a kid. It's in the months after September 11th. They're there in New Orleans, and as someone who had lived there, I'm thinking like this is before Hurricane Katrina even happened. Richard Seymour is there hugging Brady at the end. He's younger than Brady. He was a rookie on that team. He's now like in the Hall of Fame.
A grandfather.
Everything about it. It was just like a completely different era of our lives and of football. And Brady was there for all of it. It was my favorite sports fan experience. I lived out here in LA. I would watch every game with a couple of buddies. One was a big Patriots fan, and being out here watching that game. And I'm just thinking like that was just a totally different time. And yet at the end of that game, that same like thing that made him special to go win that game was still here at 46 winning these Bucks games. He tied his all-time record for game winning drives in a season this season with 5. Like that was still there. He's the best winner of all time.
Yep, absolutely. And you're mentioning all these people that are no longer with us. I mean, it was nearly a quarter century ago. That's how long he played at this highest level. Obviously played longer than anyone ever had that wasn't a kicker.
He was at the Janet Jackson halftime fiasco.
He was there.
He's been everywhere.
He was there. You know who wasn't there? George Washington.
Exactly.
Hack.
You know who took no responsibility for any of that?
Who?
Justin Timberlake.
Got him. I was going to say George Washington.
Yeah.
All right. You mentioned Tom Curran. He is Pat's insider for NBC Sports Boston. He's covered the Patriots since 97, so he's been there the whole way through with Tom Brady. Tom Curran, welcome back to Around the NFL. How are you, sir?
Tremendous. Thanks for having me. How's everybody?
Good to see you,
Doing
Tom.
Doing good.
We used to work together, Tom and I, back in the day over at NBC. Tom gave me a lot of grief. He's like the funniest guy I know in the biz.
Get out. Who's your comedian friend? I'm not the funniest guy you know.
I said, well, in the sports business, it is a common thing. Like our friend Dave Damashek likes to say, everyone thinks they're funny, but no one. But Tom Curran with the one-liners.
There's a lot of pressure on Tom. You say that after the conversation.
Sure.
Like this, just, once again, a reminder of how funny Tom is. But now Tom has to perform.
Let him drop some bombs.
In a way. Mr. Curran, thank you so much for joining us. And, you know, what was your first reaction when you woke up or you saw the Instagram post that he was walking away? First of all, did you buy it this time? And B, did it strike the right notes for you?
I did buy it. First reaction was, there goes another day sacrificed at the altar of Tom Brady over the course of 25 years. I mean, you know how many times it has happened? Whether it's the Wells report, you're on your way to the golf course, whether it, name it. I can chronicle times in my life when I've been, which is in 2010, he had a car accident right before the opener. You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He's in the midst of a contract negotiation, and Kraft immediately ran over to his house and gave him the biggest contract in the NFL. That was another one. But that was my initial reaction. And I really didn't leap to see what the announcement was. I'm not an early riser. So it was around 8:45. I go, oh, what's this going to be? But it did strike, in my estimation, the right notes. And the column I wrote, guys, was basically that this was a Spartan announcement that was self-aware enough for a guy who seemingly has become less and less self-aware as he's embraced his brand and self-promotion over the last few years in a way he never had before. He kind of seemed to realize that I can't make this a brand ploy. I can't make this a marketing ploy. I can't be overwrought with this. Let's just say it what it is and move on. So I thought it was good, and it struck the right notes in my estimation.
I loved what you wrote, and I think that there were obviously a billion columns being produced yesterday about the numbers he compiled and all that jazz, but you talked about Tom Brady, the man, and after that Spartan comment, I just want to read something that you put in your column. You said, you know, during that announcement, that he was just a guy who looks tired and bummed out with a lot on his mind. Understandably, it's complicated. Brady belongs to America, but he somehow seems to have become a man without a country. Like, who is Tom Brady, the man, going forward? I mean, you've been around him more than anyone. Like, what's your impression of who he is and who he becomes at this point?
I think he's initially a very closed guy whose family is extremely important to him, and he wants to have an enjoyable experience on the earth and do as many things as he possibly can. And I think in embracing those things, especially after he left the Patriots, he kind of drank heavy from the chalice of everything. And now he's realized, okay, I have an ex-wife in Miami, maybe or maybe not. I'm not sure if his kids are exactly there specifically or not. I'm guessing they are. Then he has a son in New York and parents in San Francisco. He made his mark here in New England, was here for 20 plus years. He probably has property in Tampa. So he's everywhere. And his family is scattered. His parents were very important to him approaching their 80s. His kids are into their tweens. And all of you guys, I don't know how old you all respectively are, but the ages of 35 to 45 for men can be very challenging because so much is changing so fast and the milestone portions of your life have kind of passed. And you're trying to find, what the hell am I doing now with my life? I've finished coaching my kids. We've already gotten married and looks like I'm just killing time until 80.
This is so real, Tom. This is hitting pretty hard right now, FYI.
Across the board,
says the 42-year-old.
Yeah, so that's why I'm still playing at 55. I'm still playing men's hoop on Wednesday nights. We're 7-1. But you've got to find something, and you got to find something fulfilling because I think that football has filled that void for him, but it's not as fun, and we could see it this year.
I love that, and I did love seeing some of the social posts from players' wives. Like Logan Ryan's wife had a great post on Instagram talking about how Brady and her and their two families and their kids and his daughter like were, you can't almost make this up, at a dog shelter every single week, and there's no cameras there's no people, and it's the thing that Brady did because he knows it's the thing that his daughter loves most in the world. And you just hear all these stories, and I thought of that tweet Mina Kimes had yesterday too, just like you don't hear anyone who's had interpersonal relationships with Brady ever say a single bad note, which is pretty rare. And I do think
Antonio
that gets...
Antonio Brown.
But even he, when he tried to like rat him out for like, look at this guy, and then they showed the text, it was like, oh, Tom Brady's actually trying to help you, man. He's trying to be a big brother. So I think that can get lost. It reminds me, there was that book by... who was it? He now writes
Charlie
for...
Pierce?
Yeah, Charlie Pierce. And he had a really hard time. He's a great writer making Brady interesting because there wasn't really much more to it. But you were there at the very beginning. So our listeners might not know this, Tom, but you, I think, were elevated in some way in the Boston sports scene because you were so early in on Brady. I could be wrong, and tell me if I am. You were, I feel like, the first one to be in on Brady that you said... even before he took over for Bledsoe, but especially after he took over for Bledsoe, that like, this is the guy, this is going to be the guy, they are never going back. You used to call Drew Bledsoe the hood ornament. You made fun of Kraft for signing him to the biggest contract in history after two pretty bad years. And you said that was all for show and that it's going to be Brady forever. And at the time you were kind of on an island, like that seemed crazy. And it became a bigger conversation through that Super Bowl year. I guess
Tom built a mansion on that island. now.
Absolutely. Like, oh, no. Who said it? Who said it?
Well, you said it again, Greg.
I said it again. We're not supposed to say the words of the big game that's going to be played in a couple weeks. What did you see back then, Tom, that let you know this, like, right off the bat? And, like that? How did you see
it
that?
Was a
and
training
what was that
camp.
Like? Okay.
It was training camp in 2001. He was unremarkable in 2000. He showed up. The Patriots were at Bryan College, which is a small college in Rhode Island. That's where they worked out. And he walked into the cafeteria in 2000 with a backpack on. I'm like, why is that tall kid walking in there? And why is he here in July? Because he absolutely did not look like a football player. By the next summer, 2001, you could see in virtually every training camp practice, Brady outperforming Bledsoe. This is prior to Bledsoe being injured. You can look at go to NFL Jesus, look at the playbooks from those preseason games. You can see the numbers, Brady performing better than Bledsoe in each one of them. So he was outperforming Bledsoe consistently. And Bledsoe actually played the entire first half of the fourth preseason game in 2001. Mm. They were so desperately inept with him on the field. Then they go into the season, they lose to Cincinnati, they're horrendous in the game that Bledsoe gets hurt against the Jets. So my peeing on that territory with Brady was more linked to he's not gotten any better, Bledsoe's getting worse, and Brady is actually very accurate and very competent. And you talk to more and more people, whether it be Lloyd Carr or his high school college teammates, or people who had grown up around him, and they said, he's going to take over the team. Lawyer Malloy said he's going to take over the team. These were guys who said, you know, we believe in what Tom can do. So I saw it, but it also was confirmed by many, many, many people around him, even in the weeks that he was taking over the job.
The Brady Patriots of it all, obviously during retirement number one, a lot was made that he didn't mention the Pats and all that stuff. And I know that was a huge story up around your parts. Now, as we spin forward, like, how do you see that relationship, Pats Brady? Like, is there going to be a one day retirement contract, or is Brady really the type of guy that was a part of his life? He's moved on and there won't be that type of connection post career.
It's what Dan really wants curious. As a Jets fan. That's what he's just hoping for. That's all he has.
Here's the interesting thing. I think that Brady is extremely attuned to symbolic moves meant to leverage his relationship to the betterment of somebody else. And the symbolism of signing a one-day contract and retiring as a Patriot, I think will probably go sideways up his chimney. The reason being, he had a chance in 2020. He begged you from 2017, 18, into 19. And when you finally sat down and gave him a bogus contract that you announced as a two-year extension, and he knew and you knew that it was just on vapor. And then the next year in March, when he gave you one last chance in spite of himself to do something, Belichick says, we can't do two and 25 each. Fifth, we can't give you the Drew Brees contract. He became a free agent. So for the Patriots to now say, can you come back and sign a contract just so you can retire? No, I'll show up for the red jacket ceremony for the Patriots Hall of Fame, and I'll be there for whatever parade and the statue unveiling. But let's not get to the point where you're trying to make me sign something that I wanted to sign and you wouldn't give to me.
Do you think that they're going to attempt to do that though, Tom? Or do you think they understand that they maybe didn't handle it the way they should have?
I think that they would probably send out enough feelers to understand that would probably be a bad idea. And this is all hypothetical on my part, guys. I don't know this. I've not asked anybody if Tom would sign a one-day contract. I did speak to people close enough to the situation to say, can you just put this to bed for me? Tom's not coming back to the Patriots, right? This was a week or two ago. Said he will never play for the Patriots again.
I mean, so, could you?
The relationships are fine.
Right. I thought it was crazy when people were throwing that out there. I was like, you do.
Yeah.
I do not.
Interpersonally, I think he's fine with Bill. I think he's fine with Robert Kraft. He went to his wedding. But it's the same thing with people who you work with, who you just couldn't work with anymore. If you see him someplace for 20 minutes, you're like, that was great. It's great to see you. Want to work with him? No.
Could you see him, though, like with Bill Belichick? Because I think some of the stuff that drives me nuts is this. Do Belichick and Brady respect each other? Are their careers not the same because of it? you've got Jimmy Johnson going out on Bill Belichick's yacht with him and all that. Like, could you see like the relationship between the two of them turning into something where you look back in a different way beyond the business of the Patriots, where Brady and Belichick are out on that yacht and just enjoying the fact that they changed football history together? Or is there something thornier there?
I could absolutely see that. And I could see it in a way that we wouldn't find out about it until 3 weeks after it happened. Mm.
Well, you might, but...
Well, I might, but chances are I wouldn't, because they know that it would go immediately right to telling everybody, and they would want to be private about it. But I think that they could, in the realm of, we've shared so much together, we did so much together, and we've never had a relationship that is away from football. So Belichick changes drastically. I'm sure you can hear from any number of former Patriots, whether it's been Willie McGinnis or guys who have come through NFL media who were with the Patriots, can, you know, have testimony to how much Bill changes after someone is not their employee anymore. And Belichick really did that after that game last year at Tampa. He spent 25 minutes after a primetime game in the locker room talking to Brady. So the damn buses back to Tampa had to wait, which is probably Bigfoot in the whole situation in the way Bill loves doing. But think about that. So, yeah, I could see it, but I just don't think it's going to be them sitting down and throwing Doritos at each other and gambling on the couch.
I could hear
That'd
from
be great, though.
Tom Curran yes, on Tom Brady all day long. I'm curious how your relationship is with Tom over the years.
Hmm.
He was pissed. He's pissed at me.
Uh-oh. For what?
Did you beat his basketball team? Is that to get to that 7-1 mark?
Remember before the Bucs game when the Patriots played the Bucs?
Yes.
So when they were playing the Bucs and Brady was coming back about a week earlier, I was doing all kinds of pre-Brady stuff. Here's the house that he lived in when he was in 2000, and here's this. And I was trying to, you know, do that reporting. So, of course, for the millionth time, I called Mr. Brady. So Mr. Brady's on with me, and we're talking, and he said something about the Patriots being wrong. And I said, so do you feel vindicated? And Mr. Brady goes,
oh,
damn right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then I said, does Tom feel vindicated? And he said, damn right. And, of course, it went kind of, you know, viral because it was the first pop off before the game. And Tom just expressed to me via email, I didn't appreciate you asking my father to speak for me.
Ooh.
I thought you took advantage of him. And I was like, I would never do that to the guy. But at this juncture, I think we'd be fine if we talk, but he's not been psyched. And that's the thing that I understand about it. I can have a great relationship with him for 25 years, but at a point, if he feels like you're leveraging a relationship in a way that is complicating for him, I get it. Mm-hmm. I do get it.
Well,
I do hope you get to the point, Tom, where you and Tom Brady are throwing Doritos at each other.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Tom, I'm at the pro foot at the Hall of Fame in 2028. Have him removed. No. No.
Tom, thank you so much for giving us some time. I know you're the busiest man in sports media around your parts right now, so that is much appreciated. And yeah, let us know any updates, any emails you get from the GOAT. We'd love
to keep you guys posted.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been quiet since. Let me know if he asks about me, if you see him.
All right. Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
The see great you. Tom Curran. Never disappoints. Good stuff. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hollywood, something, 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 Hollywood, where your dreams are made and also crushed. It's a tough town. Okay. Before we get to some quarterback talk, we just talked Tom Brady. This is something I've wanted to do since really I saw the trailer for 84 Brady for the first time, which if you're not aware of 80 for Brady, what it is, our producer, Justin Graver, is going to give a very concise summary of what the film is about. Gravedigger.
Yes. Yeah, so the what, film.
You guys hear anything?
No.
Yeah. Not yet.
Ah. Oh, Justin, what's up?
Sorry, I thought if you cue me, I don't have to do that.
Yeah, it's a little complicated.
Right. Okay, yeah, anyway, the film is about four women in their older stages who...
Octogenarians, is that it?
Yeah,
octogenarians?
Octogenarians, yeah. First time I've heard that term, who really want to see Tom Brady play football. So they decide they're going to make a road trip to see him play
road trip
against the Falcons in Super Bowl 52, whichever one that was. Which ended up being the 28.
Oh, you said something. You said something. All right, and just again, an old Gravedigger is in a big heap of mess because not only does Gravedigger have to, he gets dinged if he says it.
Yeah,
he gets dinged if he misses any of us saying it and doesn't call it out. So right now he's down $5. Greg, all the way down to 15. He's up to 15 in the hole right now.
Graver acknowledged that this will be one of the first episodes in a long time that he's actually listening to what we're saying while it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I tune out.
It's a little problematic.
You know, I got to hang on every word here.
Sometimes
I tune out,
says our producer.
You know, I learned from the best. Ricky Hollywood taught me well.
Anyway, nice breakdown. It's legends of the screen. Rita Moreno, Sally Field, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin. I'm asking you, folks, how much does this movie make in its opening weekend? Because I think it's kind of a fascinating test here in Tinseltown because nobody really knows exactly who the movie's for. Greg says it's for his mother and her I guess friends or whatever. So if you're a person in New England, maybe a woman in New England, a baby boomer.
I think it's for my mom. How do we have a sound drop for that?
So you have that market cornered, yeah. Obviously. People that are born in the maybe early 50s or so that are women that live in that exact region of the country. How much money will this film make opening weekend? Closest without going over, Price is Right rules, and we'll figure out what the winner gets. Gravedigger, we're going to let you get in on this as well. Mark, you first.
I will go $11.8 million.
$11.8 million. Okay, I like that. Can I get some of the Tinseltown music back? Only better. Go ahead, Greg.
Why don't you go next?
All right. I did do a little cursory research. I checked in. What is a like a football movie? Draft Day came out 9 years ago, and that pulled in 9.8 million. Now you got to adjust for some inflation.
Back then, that's not a terrible. I thought it would have been lower for Draft Day.
I think that this movie will do worse than that, factoring in inflation. Yeah, it will make about. Nine even. Ooh. I have for 80 for Brady.
Okay, well, you are accounting for inflation. I'm going to account for the pandemic and the decreasing box office.
Oh, very smart, very wily.
I'm looking at the last weekend's box office. Left Behind: The Rise of Antichrist debuted with 2.3 million. I feel like Tom Brady is. A Christ-like figure to some, so he'll do better than that, but not much better. Let's go 3 million.
Oh. I've potentially way overshot this then.
I mean, I could be wrong.
Three?
I'm going to go low.
That's an absolute bomb. If that's an
that's an all-time...
Ishtar-esque bomb.
Stinker. All right, how about you, Grave
Digger? Better?
This is better. You want something cinematic and big and make it feel like you just stepped onto Hollywood Boulevard.
Right. That other one was called Hollywood Fanfare, but...
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with 4.6 million.
Oh, so you boxed in Greggy.
Right. That's my whole thing was
I just like that.
That was the closest I could get to getting a dollar, basically. I was taking low.
Greggy boxed in a big spot.
I think Gravedigger is the Vegas favorite in my mind, but obviously not in your
game. But you know, in most games on the show, yeah. The producer loses.
Yeah.
So you got to factor that in as well.
I mean, I've got to get it between. 3 and 4.5, so that's a pretty small window.
I'm hating what I did because the last 5 times I've been to the movie theater, there have been about 15 people in there.
Right? It's 80 for Brady.
It's going to be 80 people that go to this movie.
In hindsight, yeah, 5 to 6 feels like a nice number, but I was trying to get that $1 thing. Engraver took it from me. But that's how the game's played. Good job.
And just to put a button on the Tom Curran conversation, that was great. Could have done an hour on that. One of the reasons we're not doing an hour on that is, first of all, Tom wouldn't agree to that, I'm sure. But also, or maybe he would. He's a good dude. But also, I know some people are kind of Brady'd out at this point.
Yeah,
you
get that.
You
sure.
Kind of do that, especially now it's a second retirement. But I think having someone like Tom that really, you know, was boots on the ground and had a relationship with all the people involved. And, you know, Greggy, I don't know why you always think that. It's not that question about the Patriots wasn't me, like, hoping for – bitterness between the two sides.
I was just having a little fun.
Yeah, like I think it's time to. I think he's above a 1 day retirement. I don't think that's something that's going to happen. But I would be unfortunate if there's a cold war and that's kind of what their situation is moving forward. But
it was a great question, and I know that because it inspired a surprising and a compelling answer. So you did a good job.
Thank you, Daddy. Hey, let's play a game. Well, it's not a game. Let's help people. Let's head into the old, imagine like a police station. Now we're talking about old Hollywood. Now imagine an old police station. You walk up the marble steps and you head into the big doors and here you are inside headquarters. And now we head into like the meeting room.
Yo, Dragnet style.
Dragnet style. Never saw the show, but I think I get the ref.
I mean, it was not on while you were, it was not a vibrant primetime offering during your lifetime or mine.
Wasn't. But what we're going to do.
It was closer
here,
to yours.
Undoubtedly.
By a few years.
We are going to take a look at the remaining or the quarterbacks of note who are in limbo right now. It's a case file study. And we're going to go through the files. We're going to pull the files on these quarterbacks, these mysteries. We're going to try to kind of crack the case on where these quarterbacks end up. Tom Brady, pick up the file, toss it in the garbage.
Put it in the circular file.
Put it in the circular file. What does that mean?
I know garbage can. Round garbage can.
So, oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
I never knew what
circular
that meant.
File, circular file. Just like, oh. You know, we're filing that away for good.
Learning so much in this episode today.
Yeah.
So let's pull the file open. What do you got? Pull a name, Greg. Pull a file.
Let's start with a guy we were just talking about in the playoffs, Danny Dimes.
No, you're pulling the Dimes file.
Daniel Jones, because this young man...
That case is ice cold, see?
I think is in line, potentially, to make more guap than anyone in this filing cabinet, outside of perhaps Lamar Jackson. But Daniel Jones might be a little more motivated to get that money fast. There are reports in New York, the people are throwing out like that he could make $40 million. I don't believe that. But I do believe that the Giants will believe his market is strong enough that they're not letting him go, that they're going to tag him if at all possible, if they can't get a deal done.
Yeah, boss, there's information coming right out of Giants headquarters that their GM, Joe Shane, basically said, we want him back. They've been consistent about that. It's hard to imagine that they go nowhere at quarterback. They've got nothing when Daniel Jones, I think, over the course of an evaluation season, won over the coaching staff.
Don't you think with all this, though, there's a little bit of saying something publicly while also examining what the market could be like privately? Now, I don't know who would be in that market for the Giants. It's probably not Lamar Jackson. And if it's not Lamar Jackson, where's the upgrade? But Brian Daboll has to be feeling himself a little bit after making Daniel Jones look that good and feel like he could do it with different quarterbacks. So I'm not totally ruling out like a tag and trade here or something surprising. I don't know for sure that they're there.
Does that sound like something the Giants would do?
The ownership seems to love Daniel Jones.
I'm struggling to find another team that would do that.
This feels to me like the Giants value Daniel Jones higher than anyone else.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think they see him as a talent who is making real progress in the first year under Daboll. And maybe they can get him under a manageable contract while also maybe he takes the next step. I think they won't say it. They're not going to say it, but I think the Giants, some of those people in that building, are like, we think he could be like Josh Allen.
We
believe he could be that guy.
Yeah, there are similarities to Josh Allen in terms of the way that Daboll can use him, but their owner absolutely loves Daniel Jones, the person, the guy, everything.
Mm, and that was a big influence on Eli Manning staying there as long as he did, was ownership. And that could be a factor. But you said who would want him. I mean, plenty of teams would want him.
I didn't say that.
I mean, you said that they like him more there. I think teams like the Colts, the Texans, the Panthers, the Bucks, the
Saints. But I think a lot
Saints,
of that speaks
like the
to Commanders, the fact
you just never know.
A lot of that speaks to the fact that this so-called like carousel of quarterbacks gets real stale after two or three names.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We thought that last year that there actually wouldn't be that much movement. Remember, that was the conventional wisdom at the scouting combine. That late in the offseason, well, relatively. I mean, it's still before free agency. And then it ended up going crazy, and everyone changed teams. And so I guess I don't put Daniel Jones so far ahead of these other names that like a surprise couldn't be coming. Some of these teams have high draft picks too. I wonder if that could get involved. Like the Giants are one team and they have a coach who can develop quarterbacks that they could get creative if they wanted.
I think we got this case figured out.
Yeah. Mm.
Let's close this case. He's going back to the Giants. Let me dig back into the file here. It's a big case, and it's a tough one because everyone's got their eyes on us on this one. Got to get this one right. We got to close this one. Aaron Rodgers. There's so much evidence here pointing to the Jets. There's so much. They're the culprit here. I'm going to put the collar on the Jets on this one. I'm going to give you eight reasons real quick here.
Eight.
And tell me, disagree wherever you disagree.
Okay.
Are the Jets openly pining for a veteran quarterback?
Yes.
Would Rodgers be by far the best veteran QB on the market?
Yes.
Is there a connection between Rodgers?
No, I would say. If Lamar is somehow available, no. That's the answer.
If we're viewing Lamar as available, I would not categorize
him as available. We'll pull the file if we have to.
Yeah.
Okay, Lamar, sure. So Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett, is there a connection there? The new offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Are Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas entering playoff or goodbye type seasons for the Jets?
Correct.
Would Rodgers give the Jets huge national pop, put them back on primetime, take the headlines from the Giants?
Oh, yeah.
Has Woody made a big splash since he came back as the acting owner?
No, but he's hinted at wanting to do so.
Zach Wilson, remember him? Does he have a relationship with Rodgers that's deemed to be close, allowing the Jets to sell it as not only getting Aaron Rodgers, but here's a mentorship for our young quarterback we're not giving up on? It's a story.
That's a yes, but it's like way lower than in importance in all the other yeses.
Seven
still
of eight.
Yes. It's still
and
a yes.
Eight. Did Brett Favre come to the Jets via trade, via the same ownership and the same teams involved.
You did.
History is instructive, Chris Wessling was known to say. Now, is there another team that could come in, swoop in, and make a big play for Rodgers? Absolutely. But I don't think any team is, A, as desperate as the Jets, B, have the need that the Jets have at this level compared to what else is going on with their roster. It just would surprise me at this point if it doesn't happen.
Whoa!
That's where I stand.
Dragnet.
Yeah.
You can give them, you've got the 13th overall pick if you're the Jets. You've got other assets you can move. I don't feel as certain as you do, because I think if you're a Green Bay, you've got to work with Aaron Rodgers on some level if there's a trade. And I'm not convinced that Aaron Rodgers would see it as a match.
Why not?
I think the problem, and you would understand this better than anyone, Chief, that the Jets have...
immediately makes them Chief.
No, the Jets have historical issues that I think make them, like, that override the current... bubbliness around some of their roster positives.
Do players think that way, though? I know we think about it that way.
But I think players
are a tortured franchise that has failed.
I think that if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're very much about your legacy, and this is the tail end of your career. I mean, he's been weighing retirement year after year, and it's like staying in Green Bay from one more year, fine. You kind of know what you're going to get there potentially. The Jets are an absolute raging X-factor wild card landing spot for someone like Aaron Rodgers.
I hear what you're saying, but I hear what Aaron Rodgers has been saying on Pat McAfee, and I think he went out of his way to compliment the Jets specifically and their talent that they have. And to me, I think he cares more about that, who the receivers are, and I think he'd be excited about the receivers there. The money thing is interesting. The Jets would have to cut a lot of players. You'd have to pay them, I think it's $60 million this year.
There are guys like Carl Lawson... And they're Braxton Berrios. If you pop the hood on their team, even CJ Mosley, if they had to make something more
Jordan
painful.
Jordan Whitehead, but those guys are all played like 800 snaps. I'm just saying,
right.
You know, whether
but
they're
I'm saying,
great or
I
not.
I think where they are as a team, they would swallow hard and say, we trust Bob Sala to keep the defense where it needs to be and get this guy to save our offense.
I think the thing that you have going for you is that Woody Johnson has already said, like, we're ready to swing hard for the best possible quarterback. And I don't think that's someone else we'll talk about. I don't think Woody Johnson is thinking Derek Carr and nobody else in
and
that situation.
And don't get me wrong, when I say this as a Jets fan, I'm not saying like, oh, we're going to nail this one. This is a home run. There is a lot of risk that comes built in with this because Rodgers is kind of a weird guy. He raged about Big Pharma. Woody Johnson, in case you're not paying attention,
is
connected to such a thing. And in general, you're going to give up a lot to get him. You have to leverage assets, pay him a lot of money, make some hard decisions on the rest of the roster. There's a chance it wouldn't work. But I think me and a lot of other Jets fans have come around on the idea like, but if it did work, but if it did, when has this gone wrong? Of course. But don't tell me that if the Jets traded for Aaron Rodgers, they wouldn't be one of the big hype bunnies of the 2023 season. People would be all in on the Jets with that defense and then Aaron Rodgers leading the offense. I love it. I hope it happens.
I think it can happen because of what there's one thing that makes me believe it can happen.
What about the eight others I gave you?
One more.
Those were solid data points.
I agree, it's circumstantial.
No,
but,
yeah. I agree with all of that, and that's why I think the Jets would do it. But I'm more thinking about why the Packers would do it. Like, why do the Packers want to do this? And the number one reason would be that they genuinely believe in Jordan Love's development. And I do get the feeling over the last year, something changed where they believe he improved a lot in the last year specifically. And that when they saw him on the field, that he was a different quarterback. And when they saw him in practice and training camp, he was a different quarterback. Because I don't think any of this happens otherwise, because they're not trading Aaron Rodgers unless they think they can go win the division with Jordan Love.
You're also the front office that historically traded away Aaron Rodgers, hoping that Jordan Love can play.
They also look at the Favre thing, and they have mixed feelings, but they made a good decision there ultimately.
My piggyback on that is, like, I think they might be just a little over it. Rodgers at this point, too.
Yeah.
Feels like maybe it's just time, and you still have this guy that he took in the first round under rookie contract. It's time. Let's see. The case is still open, but I think I got that one licked. All right, close that file, and we're going to open up another one, but after this break.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, welcome back. Mark Sessler.
Well, I think this this case that I'm about to drop on your table here.
Pull the file.
I'm pulling it. I'm opening it. Jimmy G. Now, we know something. We've gotten new. No, when you solve these cases, you just go from tavern to tavern, place to place, looking to find the missing person where he or she might be. And
sometimes we get held up at the tavern.
Yeah.
For reasons that have nothing to do with the case.
We're detectives.
Yes.
We learned yesterday that the 49ers, Jimmy G's current residing place, oh, Kyle Shanahan openly saying he will not be back with us next year. And
He said that before.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
the detectives will point out he said the exact same thing last year.
I believe it this time. The environment is completely different.
That's Shanahan.
This time.
He's acting screwy.
This time is different. It's like I believe this the way I believe Tom Brady's retirement this time around.
Yeah,
I think the Jimmy
absolutely.
G experience in San Francisco has run its course. And there is, from our insider, our bureau insider, Ian Rappaport, has linked Jimmy G to the Raiders, and that the Tom Brady is out of the atmosphere. The Josh McDaniels, Jimmy Garoppolo thing is a possibility, but I see one other possibility here too. I mean, money or need or desperation by another team could lure him elsewhere, but something's happened down in Houston, the number one city in the country, according to Detective Greg over here. D'Amico Ryans, San Francisco's former defensive coordinator.
More against it's more the players. My sources within
yeah,
the
you have
playing
you
community.
Got plenty of sources, and they're actual human beings. We know about that case. But I think D'Amico Ryans brings suddenly an element where you've got a coach that knows Jimmy G, for better or worse. But I think Jimmy G is really well liked, obviously, and it's someone that has a chance to take Houston somewhere for a year or two. You've got Nick Caserio, New England's old general manager operating the front office in Houston, who is a pro Jimmy G guy. And you've got a chance to, I think, still make a quarterback pick with that number two pick if you want, but not have to not throw that guy into the fire as an automatic right away has to win on a team that's still building.
Detective Sessler, you play by your own rules.
That's
sometimes
true.
You get the job done. I think you've done it here. So.
I think you're playing too fast and loose. Hit it. Graver. I'm open. I'm cracking this case open.
Ooh, he's pulling the file from
these
you.
Two detectives don't work well together.
No,
it's
no.
It's not
oil
fun. It's not fun.
It's good for a television program.
Oh, yeah.
I'm opening up a different file. It's by the man we like to call Jake Brisket. And I'd like to slice off a little piece of Jake Brisket. And
that's a dusty file. No one's even bothered to look at that one for years.
It's been well-traveled. It's been around the NFL.
That's a cold case.
But I can say with confidence Jake Brisket played as high a level of quarterbacking as Jimmy Garoppolo.
Ooh, slice me off a piece of that Jake Brisket.
This is perfect for it. And I think he might be a better fit as a sort of mentor and guy that you can put with a number two overall pick in the draft without having a guy in Jimmy Garoppolo who's maybe a little tired of being in this situation where he's mixed and he might not have a job, especially when his old buddy Josh McDaniels is out there in Las Vegas. I always have believed that Jimmy Garoppolo's career would have been much better in New England. I think he fits in that offense. He's great at the sort of option routes and the things the Patriots offense asks him to do. I don't think he was ever as good in Kyle Shanahan's offense as he was in New England. So to me, this is two cases at once. Jake Brisket makes sense as the mentor guy and doesn't even start week one if that rookie is ready. But Jimmy G makes sense as a true starter that he actually gets his own team again in Las Vegas.
I just don't project Jacoby Brissett necessarily playing to last year's surprising levels in a new system either. Like he fit perfectly with Stefanski, and Stefanski, I think the Browns made hard effort to try to re-sign him because as their backup, they called him the best teammate he's ever observed, Kevin Stefanski.
He earned like that middle type of contract where it's a little better than a backup or it's like extremely high level backup money. And I think the way he played, I mean, Jimmy G can't stay on the field. I don't think that would stop the Raiders from going for him, but I think it'd be a weird thing with him in a number two overall pick. Maybe I'm crazy.
I like Jake Brisket, the player. He's going to hang around for a bunch more years probably, but do we need him to be the week one starter for another team?
I guess my question would be, has Jimmy G ever played at a higher level than Jake Brisket played last year? My answer would be only
Jimmy
in
G
New England.
Played well this year. Like Jimmy G was a good
awesome before he got hurt this year.
But to me, they're different types of quarterbacks.
I guess I'm pointing
to their ceiling is very similar. There's not a lot of people that are looking at Jimmy G, other than maybe Josh McDaniels, who sees who he was in New England and think like that's a totally different level quarterback.
Or New England's old general manager and a coach that spent the last number of years with Jimmy G.
We are still waiting for more information in Houston. We don't even know who the offensive coach is.
I got to pull up the car file. This one is, everyone's perplexed by this case, and maybe we put our heads together on this one. Now, the initial thought, and perhaps still the overriding thought, is that Derek Carr is a Jet. Because it does make sense, and you could connect those dots. And I would imagine if Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay or something else happens, he goes somewhere else, the Jets would try very hard. But I'll throw another team out there. Because I do believe Aaron Rodgers will be a Jet, as I said. So where does Carr go? How about the Commanders? I think the Commanders obviously looking for an upgrade on what they had last year. And I know, especially Detective Sessler over there, you're not a Derek Carr guy. I'm not necessarily saying that the Commanders are going to get Derek Carr and be like way better. But I think it's going to be a better quarterback situation than it's been in recent years, and that defense with Carr, I think that is a team that can contend for the playoffs. They have weapons for Carr to, they're not sending him into a bad situation in that sense either. Carr to the Commanders is some evidence that I'm piecing together. Your thoughts?
Here's what I like. I'm not a Derek Carr guy, but Ron Rivera specializes in obtaining veteran quarterbacks who I'm not into. Year after year. And like, I think that they are looking for something. I don't think you can run back the Carson Wentz experience.
Oh, no.
I think they kind of did Taylor Heineke dirty at the end of the year. And I think he's a free agent. I think he wants out of there. Sam Howell is like, I was a spicy season finale start by him, but like, that's a project.
Taylor Heineke might be, you know, a little surprised by how cold his case is on the open market. Maybe he shouldn't leave Washington.
Well, I don't think he's going somewhere as a starter, but like, he's just not part of their future. But I think Ron Rivera is coaching for his job. And Derek Carr is there aren't a lot of options out there. Like, I don't think Jimmy G goes to the Commanders. And Derek Carr, if the Jets thing goes south, or if it holds up with Aaron Rodgers, which you believe, I'm not so strong on that, I could see Derek Carr winding up with the Commanders. I would introduce the Indianapolis Colts as another option, depending on who winds up there as a coach.
Supposedly, or reportedly, according to The Athletic, they haven't given Carr permission to seek a trade yet. There's reasons for that, and I think they make sense. He's not a free agent. He signed for 3 more years, and I actually think his contract and then Ryan Tannehill, if we're going to talk him at all, are assets. Like, Derek Carr making $32 million this year, and you don't have to give him any bonuses, like, great. Like, that's actually on the lower end of starting money. Next year, it's 41, which is a lot, but you don't have to guarantee him any money. I think you guarantee him like 7 of that, which is virtually nothing. So it's just a look-see. I don't think he could be asking for a raise or anything. And it makes me think that he's going to get a better offer in terms of trade, what the Raiders are going to get way more than we would expect. If Carson Wentz could get two twos and everyone agrees that they overpaid, I think Carr ultimately will get that much or maybe even more. And people are kind of looking at Derek Carr like they're not that excited. Like, sure. But you mentioned the Commanders. I think that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned the Colts. I think that makes a lot of sense. How about the Panthers? That makes a lot of sense.
Sure. Yeah.
With Frank Reich. How about the Bucks? That
he
makes
would upgrade
some sense.
A lot of teams.
How about the Saints?
He really would.
As I was going through this list, even if you take off the teams like the Seahawks and the Giants who kind of have guys now and are probably keeping them, there are too many teams, not enough quarterbacks, and Carr is sort of threading that needle of a guy who's an upgrade and available. I think he's going to end up, it might cost a first round pick to get
there. Well, also,
Carr.
Who is the bigger winner in the Brady retirement? Because that takes Brady out of the cycle. And I like the probably what happens is Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay. Probably Lamar Jackson stays in Baltimore. Ooh. I'm just saying.
I thought he cracked
the
case.
Yeah, I kind of cracked that, though.
But
yeah.
We don't agree on
Captain.
That.
I'm loyal.
I didn't close. Hi, Captain. I didn't close
Wrong
that
career.
Case, but it is something that I feel okay. like I got
I'm
that
I'm just
one.
Saying if you want to just say that these guys stay home, that Derek Carr suddenly, unless someone has eyes for Jimmy G, which he's a tier down for a little bit below Derek Carr, I think, in certain situations. But Derek Carr, to me, becomes the guy that five or six teams are chasing after. Like you mentioned the Saints. They have literally, like, they can't stick with anything they have at quarterback feasibly and sell that to the fan base.
They have
like,
Jameis under contract. Andy Dalton is a free agent.
I mean, I think both Jameis Winston teams. Starting next year after what happened with him and Dennis Allen this year feels absurd to me.
One note on Agreed. The timing with Derek Carr. So the Raiders have a deadline here of February 15th to either trade Carr or cut him, and that's connected to a $40 million guarantee that locks in at that time. So you can trade for him. They're not going to take that guaranteed money on, I would imagine, the Raiders. So they'll probably, cut him at that point, right? So
I mean, he's not getting cut in any scenario. And I think it's a pretty smart, I think the guaranteed money they'd have to give him is like $7.5 million. Yeah. He was due 40 a year from now. And you're right. It would be nice to do that. But you can also rework all that stuff. Like you can work with him to kick that down the can, kick that can down the road. I feel like that deadline is sort of
we're 2 weeks away
nebulous.
From that nebulous deadline. But I could see that happening. Absolutely. I mean, these are teams that a lot of these teams also,
it's nebulous.
If they've identified Carr as the guy they want and they know there's a hot market
yes.
for him, like they're going to want to try to lock him down and then they could proceed with their offseason plan and
absolutely.
Their draft plan.
I think it's
plan.
Already happening in back channels.
Like Stafford.
It could happen by the end of this episode.
Like Stafford. And Alex Smith, he seems like the guy that should be getting done before that deadline anyways. You're right.
And that's why that puts a little, oh God, because I as a Jets fan, like if Carr gets traded next week and then you're kind of all in on Rodgers, and if that doesn't work out,
got nothing.
Oh geez, now what do we do?
Jimmy G.
Mike White. All right, one more. Mark Sessler. Detective Sessler, I should say. Lieutenant. Congratulations, you've been promoted.
For my work in this, on these cases.
Unbelievable
all right.
work.
Ah, that's unfair, boss. You see? I've been working just as hard as him.
Your time will come. I want to talk Ryan Tannehill.
Pop the file.
I think the Titans, Mike Vrabel especially, understands that Ryan Tannehill is a major asset, especially in an area, in an offseason, where if you get rid of him, you might be stuck with nothing. Just to reference the Jets situation you just mentioned, it's not an easy or a natural target for free agent quarterbacks because the cupboard has been bare on offense. You've got an aging Derrick Henry. There are issues on the offensive coaching staff, vacancies, all sorts of things. So here's the problem. Vrabel mentioned that Tannehill's future was sort of just up in the air. He gave it a non. You have got a new GM coming in. You can save $27 million with a post June 1 cut. You move on into the abyss, into a void, but it just feels like possibly the Titans view the Ryan Tannehill era as ending. If they do, there is a landing spot out there that Ooh. I really feel strongly about.
Talk to me.
Arthur Smith and the Atlanta Falcons. Ooh. Arthur Smith, Ryan Tannehill's old offensive coordinator.
I can see that.
And, you know,
that's why you're the lieutenant.
Yeah, Arthur Smith's the guy that, like, went back to Marcus Mariota, to an old love, and realized for the second time, this ain't a match. But Ryan Tannehill and Arthur Smith always were a match. They've got the number 8 pick. They could use it on another weapon, and suddenly that offense starts to look pretty spicy. They can run the ball really well. You've got a lot happening. Drake London at wide receiver. The tight end that never fit with Marcus Mariota might with Ryan Tannehill. You can start to see something, and I think that Arthur Smith is under a little bit of pressure where you can't just project or hope that Desmond Ridder will solve all your problems.
I love that, and I love the thinking of him getting traded in general. Just because what we talked about with these other teams, which we don't really have a beat on, Panthers with Reich, Saints with Dennis Allen, Bucks with Todd Bowles, presumably. I mean, they don't have any quarterbacks right now. Like, the market that will be aggressive trying to get Derek Carr, the same would be true for Ryan Tannehill. And I don't think his contract is a problem. And I look at this Titans file. There's a lot of dead bodies in there. A lot of dead cap space right now.
A lot of toe tags.
This roster is a little bit of a mess. They don't have an offensive line. They don't have any cap space. Like, I don't know what... I don't see a path logically forward for them, and if ever there was a time to blow it up, it would be with a new GM, and who knows, maybe Derrick Henry's.
I mean, we got a detective who's been on this Titans case for a long time behind the glass too. I wonder what his thoughts might be.
He has not been promoted to detective.
Not yet.
Yeah, he's still cleaning the bathroom.
He's on the police. He's in the academy.
Seems unfair.
Yes,
cleaning the bathroom. Come on.
What's up, Great Digger?
You look at it from the Titans side, General Manager Rand Carthon came in his introductory press conference. They said, do you see Tannehill as your starting quarterback next year? And he said, I'm still evaluating that. Mike Vrabel is going to make his decision on that. I'm going to make my decision on that. Then we'll come together and form a consensus and share thoughts. But
I think they could get a first for him, and I think they would do it.
The fact that he didn't commit to him, I mean, even just like to say it, just to say it, the way the Cardinals committed to Josh Rosen before drafting Kyler Murray. Like,
right.
It's interesting.
Why not just lie and then, exactly. and not create a story?
Here are some other players that might not be on the Titans. Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan. Like, this could... They're a team I'm circling of just, like...
For sure, really... those guys will not be on the Titans unless they take a pay cut. Hmm. For sure.
Very good. All right, let's leave the station. Let's head to the tavern and have a couple... what do they do? What are, like, the detectives? They have their shot of Jameson and then a Bud Heavy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because
that's...
I like to...
Beer and a shot. Greg, you know, with a glass of milk.
Go bunk style and let's just go to the train tracks.
Right. McNulty and Bunk just getting smashed, like just wicked hammered down at the railway tracks. All right. Let's see. Oh, we got something cool coming up, by the way. Well, we got where are we going? What's happening next Sunday, Greggy? Remind the people.
There is a contest between the Kansas City Chiefs and
Damn
the Eagles.
It. Thought I had you there. I was trying to get you to an even $20 to the Jacksonville Food Bank till, but
look at us getting out of here, not owing a penny.
Yep. But Gravedigger did.
$5 for me.
Do you want to jump up the penalty? You had said earlier that you wanted to.
Sure.
Okay. So you want to pick?
I mean, I'm happy. Let's all donate to the Jacksonville Food Bank. Let's $150 each.
All right, so $150 per reference. Sure. So that puts Greg in the hole, $450.
No, I meant each person.
Oh, but Mark and I didn't say that.
Yeah,
we got to clean.
Why
baby.
Would that? Why would it be an even? We could each donate that, but then you donate another $150.
Then I have to even more.
This
either
is
way,
cool.
It's coming. We got to get
cool.
this done.
You ready? NFL Plus. It's a great service that was launched this year. We're going to be on it. We're doing a Q&A ahead of the big game 57, and we're going to answer them next week in a Q&A show available exclusively on NFL Plus. It's getting posted on Monday, answering all of your questions. We sent out queries on social media. We asked you guys to send us your queries. We will now answer many of them. And on Monday, if you check out NFL Plus exclusively on NFL Plus, you can see our answers. Somebody replied, like, why would anyone want answers from these guys? They never get anything right.
I saw that tweet.
It's like, well, you know, that's kind of not totally inaccurate. But hey, we're going to give you to our best of our knowledge.
17-4 in the lock competition this year. How about that?
There you go. Greg brings it back to himself once again. Yeah. This is a... this is a trend.
Lock it up.
This is a trend.
A weather-worn trend.
It's about me.
What was that 7'4", Drew, in my ear? Plus.nfl.com. NFL.com. If you want to watch it, by the way, and you don't have an NFL Plus subscription, know that right now there is a 7-day free trial. So sign up. You can watch it for free. Check out what else is going on in NFL Plus and, you know, stick around if you wish. But free trial available right now. People were also asking, how do I get it? Plus.NFL.com. All right, good stuff. This is our not our last show from LA. We're going to do one more show on Monday, and then we are on aeroplanes to Phoenix for the big game 57. The Don't Say the Big Game episode comes to a close. Nailed it, Mark, you and I.
Good job.
Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to Tom Curran for that great Tom Brady conversation. And Tom, please, that's it. That's all we can do with you. Walk away. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.